That's wonderful, guys. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Had a wonderful time last night. And I'll get Miss Andrea back, don't you worry. But she hugged me like this morning. And I said, I love you too, you know, one of those things. But, you know, if you can't take it, don't dish it out. You know, if you dish it out, you got to be willing to take it. And so she let me have it, boy. She let me have it. Oh, my word. And then, you know, I took that little button home for Miss Dory when she gets home. You know, take your medicine, take your medicine, take your medicine. Yeah, I'll have a little fun with that as well. We've come a long way, Brother Greg, from that yes and no button. I think that you just have to pick up on all of that. But I'm glad we're here today, and wish some of the others, of course, that are going through difficulties could be here with us. But once again, the world will pause, and many people in the world here will pay lip service to the Bible's teaching concerning the birth and incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And certainly by carols and cards and giving and receiving of presents, most will celebrate, but not fully understand all that is contained in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and about the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in a variety of ways, the coming of Christ has been really just kind of marginalized as kind of a minimum, if any, relevance for life. But I'm here to tell you, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to earth is very relevant to our lives. Not only to our lives presently, but our lives into the future in eternity. Because when we take our last breath here on this earth, it's not over. It's not over. You know, the most important prophecy ever given in regards to the coming of Christ is regarding to the life and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ as the seed and that prophet that should come, the one who should come, thousands of years before he actually came. And the greatest announcement ever made, of course, was made on a starlit night to humble shepherds in a field. Can you imagine that? Shepherds, kind of like we're known as the stinking bunch, you know, he kept the sheep. And you keep sheep, you're going to smell like sheep. I promise you that. And so, but the greatest announcement that was ever made is made on a starry night to some humble shepherds. And of course, the greatest event to date is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the first Noel, which means, by the way, the first Christmas, for those who do not know, the first Christmas. And of course, he came to become the Savior of the world. And he is the Savior of the world. He could be your Savior today if he's not already. Yet for many people, they get lost in their troubles, they get lost in their past, they get lost in the difficulties of their present, and many people simply just miss the greatest truth and freedom and righteousness, love and forgiveness they could ever know, And that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a tragedy, to be in America, to hear the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is bathed in truth, not in heresy, but in truth, and yet not be saved. We just watched just the other night, one of the shows we watch is a family tradition, you know. Now, I say family tradition, some of you think about some country song, but I'm talking about a true family tradition. The other night, and I say we because it was the three of us, you know, the wife, she's in San Angelo, West Texas, that's where she's from. I married a West Texas girl, and there we are, but she's there with her mother who's passing away. And but Brother Gabe had come over. He had shot a hog the other night and shot him three times, kicked him five times, and he finally went down. But he came over to the house to butcher him and put him up. And so it was Brother Gabe was there with Sydney was there. And we sat down to watch one of our favorite Christmas shows. And we watch it every year. Every year we watch this, Miracle on 34th Street. Miracle on 34th Street. Street. Now, this, of course, is the remake. We like to watch the remake, and that's a 1994, I think, when that came out. And Dory, not D-O-R-I, not my Dory, the Dory on the show, you know, the actress, she had really lost sight of her faith and was living in a troubled past. And she had married a bad guy and who had, you know, left her in college and left her with a baby girl. And she was just a troubled soul. And yet she was on her own journey of faith. And I'm glad that the story turns out well. But her sweet, cute little daughter, oh man, that's one of the reasons why we just love the show. Oh my word, little Susan is just out of this park cute in that show. But Susan as well was deeply troubled, profoundly troubled and affected by her mom, Dory's life in the past, and all of that stuff, all that garbage was being passed along to the daughter, though she certainly loved her daughter, it's being passed along. And so her life, as well as her mother's life, was filled with doubt. Yet Christmas, I'm happy to say, came to them in the end, even through their own troubles. Now, the best line in the entire show, and there are many good lines in that show, and of course, the others, you know, one of my all-time favorites is It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart. But one of the best lines in this entire show is when Dory is challenged, and this is the line. If you can't believe anything on faith, then you're doomed for a life dominated by doubt. Now you just think about that. That's where the world is today. They're doomed. Now they don't have to be doomed, but they're doomed by their lives of doubt. Just constantly living with doubt. And doubt brings despair. It brings despair. No hope for the future, no hope for the present. Now in the story of Christmas, we Christians realize the central focus is not on the fields or not on the stars, not on the magi. They were all there. The central focus of Christmas is Christ. You really can't have Christmas, Christ, but you can't have Christmas without Christ. Christ has to be in the center of it all. The focus is on the Lord Jesus Christ becoming flesh as a babe. Now some might even suggest, well, we shouldn't celebrate Christmas because of the horrible things that happened to Jesus. Well, those things were necessary that Christ would suffer for us. But if Christ had not come, there would be no mediator between God and man. There would be no peacemaker with God. There would be no hope, no future, no heaven, no life, no salvation. No salvation apart from Jesus Christ coming. There would be no good thing that would ever come to mankind had he not come, provide his good sacrifice. But praise God, he did come. And he came, of course, as a lowly babe. And it's a proper time, very proper time for us to celebrate. Now, we call the birth of Christ the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ, just on a doctrinal a clarity. Jesus Christ did not begin in Bethlehem in a cave. He began in eternity past and really had no beginning. But he had a conception. Of course, Mary was conceived of the Holy Spirit there in Nazareth. And John chapter 1 tells us Jesus is God, and by his own volition he became man and became flesh through this miraculous conception with Mary. So Jesus did not begin in Bethlehem. He became man in Bethlehem. He became flesh in Bethlehem. But he was a man, certainly he was the man God, but a man on a mission. And that's what Christmas is truly all about. It's just the beginning of the story. And the other day I was talking again about Paul Harvey, and I miss Paul Harvey. I loved his little spots and all on the radios that he would have the rest of the story. But Christmas is the beginning of the story. It's the beginning of the story. Now, it's not ultimate, but it is the primary story of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We start with Jesus Christ becoming flesh among men. So let me tell you this morning what Christmas can do for you. If you would, in Matthew chapter 1, you catch me there. Matthew 1:1, the book of generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. Verse 6 says, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife, you know that story, of Uriah. Verse 16, and Joseph Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Look at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, of course, this is a prophecy, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, did not have relations with her, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, many people don't even really like to pay attention to the genealogies of the Bible, but they are important for a variety of reasons. Now, my point here is certainly one of those reasons. Believers need to know and proclaim to the lost that there would be no Christmas apart from Jesus Christ. That's a message that we need to deliver to our neighbors and to our friends. Many years ago, of course, Christ came to earth as the baby Jesus was born in Bethlehem, yet circumstances surrounding his life and around even his parentage, we're talking about on Mary's side, they were not the best. If you start peeling the onion back, everybody always wants to talk about peeling an onion. And I don't really like onions that much, and I certainly don't like to peel them, much less cut them and just cry for no reason. You know, men ought to not to cry for no reason. Okay. That's a good place to say amen right there. That's an inside joke for those who were there last night. But I think there's some lessons that can be learned from that. Number one, Christmas can come out of a sordid past. And the family history, of course, of even the Lord Jesus Christ on his mother's side, not on the father's side, see, but on his mother's side, had some problems. They had some scandal. They had some sin. They had some troubles. So you will recall, Uriah was the husband of a lady by the name of Bathsheba. Know the story? Bathsheba. Well, she took a bath on a housetop and King David was looking on, but he should have been somewhere else. And they fell into sin. Now, that's not good. That's not good. David, of course, set a trap and sent Uriah off to die in war and took his wife. A great sin. Make no mistake about that. That was a great sin. But God deals with mankind in his wonderful grace. And everybody needs to know that. Where sin abounds, grace there much more, the Bible says, abounds. And through all this sin, and though all this wrongdoing had taken place, we find through Solomon, the son of David and Bathsheba, that we eventually have Joseph, the husband of Mary, the stepfather of Jesus, the God of heaven. And you say, man alive, God can do that. He can do even more than that. We sing a song in the hymnal, Wonderful Grace of Jesus. And the truth about the fact of the matter of the first Noel is it's the wonderful of grace of Jesus on display. That's what Christmas is all about. It's not that we deserve Christ to come. We deserve hell 10,000 times over. The story of Christmas is a story of grace, getting what we do not deserve. It's because of His grace and the great love of Christ we can celebrate the incarnation, the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, Christmas is a time for celebration. It is a time for celebration. Like the angels of Bethlehem in Luke 2:13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So we certainly should be a people that are celebrating the coming of the King of Kings and the baby Jesus. And there's nothing like the celebration of a baby. Especially the first one. Now, at the time the third one comes along, you know, okay, you know, yeah, almost, you know, I exaggerate, but just a little bit. But that first one, buddy, that's a different story altogether. Well, I've been thinking a lot, about Noah and Tyler. And Tyler was just such a sweet soul to us down there in Florida. And Noah, even on their vacation, allowed her to come over there and just help us and to love on us and thinking about their baby. And when they named Liberty, I said, man, what a wonderful name. Especially, and they're patriots, by the way, and so am I. And I said, what a wonderful name, Liberty. But, you know, Liberty was born to Noah and Tyler, and you never saw such happy faces in all your life. on Noah's face. You know, most of the time he didn't smile too big, but he was smiling real big then. He looked like a possum with 2 persimmons in each jaw and 5 in his pockets. I mean, he was very excited, and things were good, and that's good, and we ought to celebrate those things. And one of the great benefits of being a pastor is I normally get to be a part of some of that, you know, when the little ones are brought into our families. And man, I just love them. I just love them. I love the smaller the better. I just love to be around the little ones. Now, we know that Jesus, as a baby, we know he was different than all other babies. He was different than them. He was to live, of course, a supernatural life and die a prophesied death and be raised in supernatural splendor. Think about how blessed Mary and Joseph. Now, I know they had their sorrows. I know they had that. I know some of that was prophesied. Some of it was learned along the way, especially even with Mary. But what a joy it must have been to be the parents. And I know Joseph was stepdad, but what a joy it must have been to help in the raising of Jesus. What a joy that must have been. Well, let's go back and listen to the conversation a little bit of Mary and the angel in Luke chapter 1, beginning of verse 31. Beginning of verse 31. Luke chapter 1, verse 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And as his kingdom there shall be no end. Now that's not only good news, that's great news. That's great news. The type of news that you just can't keep back. You've got to tell it to somebody. There's no way for someone to not to tell others when such an event is taking place. It just kind of oozes out of your pores and everybody knows it. In Luke chapter 1, verse 39, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste. See that? With haste. Why would she do that? Well, she's excited. She's excited. They get excited, right? They get really excited. I know I do. I'm not even having a baby and I get excited. And she hastened into the city of Judah. She entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Now, I don't know if she did one of these military things. I don't know what they did, but it was some kind of an honorable thing that they did to recognize, you know, one another. But she did what any person would do. She wanted to tell someone of the magnificent thing that was taking place and help her to be a part of that. You know, we used to sing a song in children's church years ago when I was a little boy. It's bubbling, it's bubbling, it's bubbling, you know. And when you get into something like this, you're bubbling, bubbling, bubbling. Brother Daniel, that was a fan. Listen, if you missed Wednesday night, you missed one great message. It was a fabulous, fabulous message. I mean, chocked full. Please strive to be at all the services you possibly can. You really missed something very special. But he was talking about anticipation and how they were so excited when Christmas would come. And then, of course, his hopes were dashed and all he got was an old pair of socks, you know. Well, there's more to that story, but you'd have to listen to it some other time. But he was talking about anticipation. I was mentioned talking with Tyler and Noah afterwards. And I said, I remember one time when I was anticipating Christmas. I was a little guy and I still had on one of those onesies, you know. You know, with the little rubber feet to keep you from sliding, but I would slide anyway because it was a hand-me-down and all the rubber things already wore down. And, you know, and so it would be pretty slick on those little floors back in that little ranch house that I was raised in. But here comes Christmas morning, and man, Dad, you know, he makes his normal announcement. I'm in the bottom bunk, why am I in the bottom bunk? Well, I'd fall out of the top bunk. And so they put me under the bottom bunk. And then I started having dreams about snakes. I thought all those wires and stuff up above me were snakes. And I'd have bad dreams. And so I cried, you know. But here come Christmas morning. Here come the announcement. And my sister, can you believe that? She beat me out the door and she was around the door. But man, I was in hot pursuit right behind her. And at that time, you have to come out of the bedroom. You have to make a hard right, then a hard left, about 10 paces, and then another left to get into the living room with the Christmas tree and all the presents. And when I hit that tile floor and made a hard left, my left leg went that way, right leg went that way, and my pajama britches split just like that. I mean, they split royally. And, you know, I mean, the fruit of the looms, they were showing. And they had this old camera, you know, it'd go around. I think something with a number 8 or something like that. I forget what it was, you know, the camera, you're showing that. And what is it? 8 millimeter camera. That's what it was. And still looking back at all those old films, had a little plastic rollers about like that. You put the film on and you set it up every once in a while. And there I was in all my glory. Did I care? Absolutely not. Why? Because I was anticipating a Christmas. And it was just our family there. I didn't know they were going to show it to everybody in the world that come by, you know. We have this video of Christmas, and you want to see this one especially, you know. And they like to pick on me too, Andrea. And nonetheless, it's exciting. It's exciting. This is an exciting time of the year. I love it. I just absolutely love it. It's my favorite time of all the year, Christmas time. We went up several years ago, and I did it for when Dory had gotten through the breast cancer thing, and I wanted to have a little celebration and all with her, and I took her over there, and I think it's called Dollar City up in Missouri. Is that right? Dollar City up there. And Silver Dollar City. That's even better, isn't it? That's even, Silver Dollar sounds even better than Dollar City. I mean, what's better than a dollar? Silver Dollar. Okay? But we went up there, and they have this whole section of quadrillion lights. Christmas lights. And you go there, and if you're not in love with your wife, you just take her right there and you'll fall in love with her all over again. Because she just looks like a beautiful angel in all those lights, you know, just, you know, it's kind of one of those things. And it's exciting. It's exciting. And that's what we ought to be when we think about the Lord Jesus Christ. However, we say, wait a minute, but I have a troubled past as well. I know that. It is good news. It is good news. Now it came to pass, the Bible says, it was continue on in Luke 1. Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, and the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake with a loud voice, not this little timid thing, oh, she's excited too. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, and hence whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the baby in her belly leaped in my womb for what? Joy. Joy to the world. Of course, the Lord has come. And the Bible says, and blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. In other words, she believed the entire story of the gospel. And Mary says, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. And do they not? Of course they do. The same joy that Mary had, Elizabeth had, John the Baptist shared, which we ought to share today. The coming, the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christmas can come out of a sordid past. It did. And thank God for that, because every single one of us, all humanity has a sordid past. Has a sordid past. The other night, I woke up again, the middle of the night, and this particular night, I was deeply troubled. Deeply troubled. And that's not the first time this has happened, but it's really the first time that it happened since my heart attack and all that stuff. And I once again was thinking about regrets. Regrets. And I was dreaming about regrets. Now, I thank God for His grace. Now, I don't have regrets that would look like a, you know, an endless shopping list. And I'm grateful I work with some people that have so many regrets in life, it's hard to even keep them straight. I'm telling you, I'm not exaggerating that at all. They've just had regret after regret after regret after regret after regret in their life. And I thank God for His grace, because I don't have that many, I mean, really big regrets. But I do have some. I do have some. And I don't like them. I tell you right now, I don't like them. I have some regrets from my youth. And I certainly can relate to the prayer, God, forgive me of the sins of my youth. You say, well, you are young and dumb. At least some days, I was telling him, it doesn't take a week to do a dumb thing. You can do a dumb thing just in one day. And I have some regrets. And I was dreaming about these regrets, and I woke up thinking about what in the world could I do to make that right. Now, some regrets, you can actually do something to make it right. You can kind of go back and, you know, kind of halfway fix it. Right? I said, right? That's a good place to say amen right there. Other regrets, you can't make them all right. There's no way, humanly possible, you can make them all right. You know, so Christmas came to me, and you know what? Christmas came to me also out of a sordid past. You say, well, you know, you only have a few. I mean, I have so many, I can't keep up with them myself. And they're my own. They're my own. Well, I acknowledge that. I want you to know, Christmas can still come to you. You think about the show. Have you ever watched? You need to watch that show if you've never seen that show. Sydney, bless her, she's never seen that show. No way she's going to heaven without seeing that show. I'm kidding. She'd never seen Miracle on 34th Street all of her life. That's what happens if you live above the Mason-Dixon line. That's just what happens. I'm kidding you. But she saw. But listen, Dory, no, not my Dory, that Dory. She was a troubled soul. I mean, she does a good job in the acting role of that, but she was a troubled soul. I think about when he proposed to her and she went to the elevator. She goes, man, if you have any leadership, spiritual leadership in you at all, you just sense, man, she's falling apart. She's absolutely falling apart. Troubled past is really troubled our souls. And it really does mess us up. She was a messed up soul. She had one of the best catches in all the world, just proposed to her, and she turned him down. Turned him down. She had a new chance of life, a good life, and a man that loved her, and a man that loved her baby that was not his. And she still shot him down like he was nothing, man. Like he was nothing. Shot him down. That's what troubled souls will do. They will make it even worse. But, you know, there's the rest of the story. Number two, Christmas can come in a troubled present. In Matthew chapter 2, look at that. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Now we know Herod went about murdering babies, which for the record is Satan's work. Trying to kill, of course, the Christ child. It was a troubling time, a troubling present. Troubles were everywhere. So much so that God spoke to Joseph and to Mary to leave and go into another country, go down to Egypt until all is made safe and where you can come back. We got to deal with this tyrant. And there are plenty of tyrants in the world. Well, read it thou about this in verse 13. And when they had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt and be there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. To destroy him. When he rose, he took the young child and his mother by night. It's dangerous. Departed into Egypt. Was there until the death of Herod that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I have called my son. Of course, fulfilling another prophecy. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men was exceedingly wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under. Destroy them. I saw some of those graves in Bethlehem, in the cave, actually where Christ was born. There were babies, not adults, babies cut out in the rock to bury some of the babies that Herod ordered killed. Right there in front of your nose. Well, it makes it very real. Very real. It was a troubling time. If you were Joseph, but especially if you were Mary, you know, nobody has their heart ripped out like a woman, it seems. Now, men can, I get it. Men, yeah, you can have your heart ripped out. But when it concerns a baby, there's nobody that responds like a mommy. Nobody. And I can imagine they're making their way down to Egypt. Her heart's in her throat. He's going to kill my baby. If he finds him. And boy, I know she's praying for Joseph to be able to help her and sneak around and get where they need to be and keep everything safe. Amen. And God bless a man who will work to keep his woman and baby safe. Amen. But all of this is the stage of mankind. This is what mankind's offering to the very presence of the first Noel. It's what mankind gave. A mess. A mess. Of course, man is born of a woman a few days and full of trouble. The reason Christmas came out of a sordid past and a troubled present is because of our sin. And we can look down our nose and we can say, well, man, those people at that time, they were really wicked people. And you know what? We're no different than they are. We're just as sinful as they are. But it's because of Christmas, the birth of Jesus and His work on earth, we can have, number three, a glorious future. And it's not because we deserve it. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. In chapter 2 of Luke, in verse 13 and 14, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Well, who's that? Who's providing the goodwill? Is it men to God, or is it God to men that's providing the goodwill? Which is it? It's God to men. It's not men to God. No way, pal. No way. But it is God, even though as sinful and wicked as man had become, the announcement is still goodwill toward men. Goodwill toward men. Of course, the child would grow up and offer himself for the sins of the world, offering forgiveness of sins, righteousness imparted by God, life, liberty, a future home in heaven with the Lord. It is a great future. I say sometimes if you want to have a future that is the rest of the story, a good future that's the rest of the story, you've got to become a Christian. I heard the other day, I think it was Cindy, it was you that told me about Erica at her shower, that her mother down in Brazil years ago, I guess when she was a girl or a teenager, said, God has, you correct me if I get this wrong, God has no grandchildren. In other words, you don't get saved because your mom and daddy were Christians. You must be born again. There are no grandchildren in God's family. You're either a child of God or you're not. That's good. Did I get that right? Close enough? Okay. That's good. And I think at least what you were talking about, that was instrumental in Erica to become personally a child of the Lord through faith. Amen. The Bible says, in my Father's house are many mansions. This is from the very lips of our Lord. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Hell is not a glorious ending. Heaven is a glorious ending. And I promise you, you'll want to go there. Revelation 21:1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. In other words, beautiful. Beautiful. Then I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. Now get this. All that sordid past, all the trouble, listen to this. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there will be, shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. All those regrets, even my own, will be no more. No more. What have you got better than that? You tell me. What have you got better than that? Nothing. 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 This Son, the Son of God, can bring a glorious future, and only He can. And if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, you may say, well, you know, I don't come from a bunch of drug lords, and I didn't come out of that kind of hell hole in my life. No, but you came from sinners. You came from sinners. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, I mean, I was raised in a Christian family. And I was bad, but I wasn't as bad as some of you. You know? I mean, some of you are bad sinners. I was just a kind of bad sinner. Some of you were really bad sinners. I've heard some of your stories. You were bad. You know? The first time I heard somebody really bad give their testimony, I said, man, alive. God's grace is a lot deeper than I thought. You know, I mean, I'd have sent them to hell. You know, back when I was young. You know, but no, God's grace, where sin abounds, grace there much more abounds. Listen, all we have to offer God is empty pockets, and they're stained with sin. Every single one of us. So don't ever look down your righteous nose at somebody else. Because we too came out of a sordid past. And we too, so often, have a troubled present. Trouble, trouble, everywhere. Everywhere. But if we want to have a glorious future, if we want an escape hatch out of this wicked world, you must believe in Jesus. You have to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And by the way, if you put your trust in Him, that doesn't mean you're putting your trust in Muhammad. No, you're putting your trust in Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Finisher. If He finished it, Muhammad's wrong out of the gate, claiming to be something he's not. If Christ, amen. Amen. Christmas. It's a wonderful time of the year. Are we reminded maybe of some regrets? Yeah, maybe you had some dreams like that yourself. And I don't like them. I know I was wrong. And I imagine, so do you. So do you. If you want to have that glorious future, I invite you to accept the one that I accepted. His name's Jesus. And He shall save you from your sin. And what better time to be saved than Christmas time? Let's stand together.